Dr. Andrew Kolarik joins us here in the first hour before we get to some open line calls coming up. And again, I think we'll stick with the focus of security for a little while before we branch off and let you take us anywhere you want to go on Coast to Coast AM. And I would go through the whole bio of Dr. Andrew Kolarik, but I've read it so many times I'm bored with it. So if you want to go read it, it's online. Go read it there. Hey, Andrew.
How you doing, Ian?
Couldn't be better. So, and let me say hi, a hearty hello to your father, too, who may be listening tonight. So, let me throw this out here, too. There are things about the whole last 48 hours that just kind of don't add up to me. And in my own way, I'll get to that coming up. However, for you, I think this is as a data mining expert. What do you hear out of all of these news stories about increased scrutiny at airports and some of these new measures they're going to be taking?
Well, a lot of the measures are they're geared to make us feel safer, not necessarily make us safer.
Right.
They're also geared to be politically correct. I mean, we need to inspect, the diapers of babies because there might be something in there. Although I don't recall any, elderly women with children taking out airliners.
Or threatening to.
Or threatening to.
Right, or although, a couple of them that maybe exist. The FBI isn't tracking an underground network of grandmas.
Exactly.
Right.
And so a lot of these things, and I have to say that people are being very agreeable with all of these changes in policy and procedure. Initially, I can see if you shock people, they'll be disgruntled that they have to throw away their products. But on the second day of all of this, the lines were smooth, people adjusted, they packed differently, so forth. You're going to see some of these measures stay with us for many years to come.
Or will they? And that's a debate I was catching from some flight attendants that had emailed me that they had said, no, this is just going to be around for a little while. This is just a brief thing, that this isn't going to be long term. And that even the people within the airline industry, they don't really have any idea how long this is going to go on or what this is all about. And I'll get back to the thing about the food here in just a second, but I want to back up just a bit when you were talking about the grandmas and the politically correct, because what are you trying to say by that? That they have to go through the baby's diapers and the grandmas in order to be able to go after the people that they really suspect. They just don't want to come out and say who they really suspect.
Well, Thomas Friedman did an interview where he talked with some Middle Eastern folks, and they said, why are you targeting our particular segment? And he said, because it wasn't people from Norway or Sweden who committed the 9/11 attacks. And it's not those folks that are doing all these other attacks around the world for the last 15, almost 20 years.
All right, no, that's great. So now we all, and there's a part of that which we can all have sort of one of those, well, the moments with that. But how does the technology interface with that? I mean, how does the technology get into maintaining a stance of political correctness? If they're data mining in airports, and you have to probably explain a little bit about what you're talking about there, how do they do that in a way using the technology that also remains politically incorrect at the detriment of its efficacy?
Well, what they are attempting to do to maintain what they call balance is they're going to have records of transactions, flights, reservations. There are commercial data brokers out there that have all kinds of our personal information put into portfolios. They're going to interface with those records. And then they have their own top secret and secret databases on suspected terrorists or associations of terrorists or places of worship that may or may not have links or had members go through them that had links, et cetera, et cetera. Also, they couple that with overseas intelligence and those databases. So what they're basically doing is taking all these disparate databases of all this data of transactions and then linking them.
Okay, well, all right, now let's talk about some of the new technology that I mentioned earlier in this hour, this idea of the gait analyzer, something that would analyze how somebody is walking.
Well, you know, biometrics is an emerging field, and in certain applications, it works fine for things like thumbprint and, you know, retina scans and the things we see in a lot of Hollywood movies.
Or even on a new, like, laptop computer I saw advertising for kids back to school, where it needs a fingerprint in order to activate it.
Right. That,
biometrics making it all the way down to a $699 laptop computer.
Exactly. And in fact, you're going to see child-proofing based on somebody's thumbprint. Okay.
Okay.
So if the child, you know, if you have different children, they might scan their thumb, and that allows them certain access rights on, say, the internet.
Right. Or even handguns in the home and other things which people are talking about biometrics on.
Right. And again, a lot of movies and television drive this technology. Now, this gait analysis.
Yeah, what does this mean?
Well, what it means is if I just got off of a flight from London, which is 9 or 10 hours, and I didn't sit very well, and now I'm walking funny, I might get myself screened for extra scrutiny.
Now,
if I match up with somebody else's gait, okay, or if, there was a mention of body odor detection. Well, when you're aggressive, when you're ready to do something, you generate more testosterone and other, endorphins and pheromones and so forth. Well, at the same time, if the guy inspecting you has upset you, or the guy behind you upset you on the whole flight, now you come off the plane and you might set off these detectors.
All right, but before we talk about how it can't work or what the problems are, and you take away all the food off the flights and you're going to have more crying babies and you're going to have more people getting off the flights who didn't sleep well or are walking funny or smell bad or are angrier. But, I mean, so the theory here, though, is somehow they'll be able to use these biometric devices to measure the odor of somebody and be more inclined to detect that they are about to commit a crime based on their odor.
Exactly.
Okay. And or could it also be we're talking about some hygienic practices which are cultural? Could we be, is that the subtext of this, that they'll be able to, they're looking for people who come from nations or religious practices that will be less likely to wear deodorant or to bathe like Westerners? I mean, is that part of this?
Well, I can't say that that's part of it, but the same technology that lets you determine certain pH levels and odors and so forth can be applied to whatever profile you establish. Now, if you have those detectors, then you don't really have to disclose what your profile is.
Okay. So
where if you say, I only want those guys who are wearing turbans and long hair on the face, well, now, most people would think that's harassment and would object to it. They have to commit a crime before they are suspected of doing one. But if you automate this process, if you randomize, certain inspections and so forth, well, then you eliminate the political correctness or the template that people can then scrutinize the scrutinizers.
Well, and I know people who are from the Middle East, and life isn't good for them flying between, destinations or on business appointments. It's tough. And they do get looks askew even when they are dressed in traditional, American Western business wear, and they'll still get people looking at their briefcase when they put it underneath the seat in front of them and stuff. And I understand that that's not easy, and that gets on their nerves, and they don't feel like they've done anything wrong, so why should they have to suffer for the sins of others? But the same thing's going to be said then for people who just walk funny to begin with, right? I mean, if we're really going to be analyzing people's gaits, then somebody who might have a natural problem with a hip or some sort of congenital defect or something, the next thing, they're going to get profiled then too.
Well, you know, when technology's not perfect, and for some reason our society has decided the solution to everything is more technology. And the fact of the matter is, if you and I see something out of the ordinary, we're better than any machine. And if we're smart, we would then report what's out of the ordinary.
But that would force them to tell us what we're supposed to be looking for. And they don't like to do that because information is power. And so I have some questions about that coming up at the top of the next hour on that very same idea. Tell us these things. Share that information with us. Don't treat us like children, and good things can happen. But that I think that that's part of the idea of that they feel like, or they, some big amorphic they, but I mean, there are people who are in power on this, and they don't want to share that information.
Well, there's a basic law about power. And when you centralize and concentrate power, then you disempower all the other people in a structure.
Right.
You have to distribute power throughout a structure to allow it to work properly. And by limiting, America has a very interesting system which is radically different than everywhere else. We're a bottom-up society. Our government doesn't own us. We're not a constitutional monarchy. We empower our government to do certain tasks. And when you reverse that, then you have what's outside our borders. And we now see an emergence of the government needs to take more power from us so that they can do things.
And that power comes in the form of mining more data on us, knowing more. And going back to what you were saying before, more data doesn't necessarily translate to more or better analysis.
No,
it just means more data.
It does, however, translate to more enforcement power by the state. The reason that we have due process is, I mean, take a look at all the laws. We have so many laws on the books. If you could have full access to somebody's records, okay, for the last, say, 7 years, I'm sure you can find they did something wrong. We're human. We make mistakes. We have other people do things for us, such as taxes. We don't always fully come to a stop at a stop sign.
Yeah, and as I've always said, if you're not breaking at least one law in Alabama, chances are you're not doing sex right.
Well, I don't know about that, but
check me on that. Check me on that. I bet you.
Well, we'll check the facts.
Sex
on that.
Isn't any good unless you're breaking at least one law in Alabama. I believe that would stand up to an investigation.
Could be, but the whole point here is very simply: the more data we give the government, or the more data they acquire on us, the more likely they can find something wrong with us. So that has to be moderated with civilian oversight.
But and see, that's where it gets into that sticky area, because the gathering of this data, right? I mean, the data mining, they're talking about these machines they're talking about that can analyze how people are going to walk or how people smell. It seems to me like some of this stuff, they're just going to gather it, and then they don't even know what they're going to do with it yet. I mean, they have the technology to gather it, but they're not even exactly sure what it means once they have that information.
But they will figure out what to do with it later.
Okay,
that rest assured.
That's comforting.
They will figure out what to do with it later, especially when this whole terrorism thing has diminished. You will have an infrastructure of people who will need to self-justify their existence.
And all of the data that they've been acquiring in the meantime.
Yes.
All right, now, so back to then to the subject of other things, more mainstream things in data mining. Have you been noticing, I mean, my mind has been on all of the airport stuff, but you've been watching a lot of the home computer and just kind of standard data collection. Anything changed in the last 48 hours? Have you been hearing rumblings of anything that are that's supposed to make us safer?
Well, the Department of Homeland Security is moving forward with a plan to put radio frequency chips of our passport information directly into new passports that are issued. So what this allows them to do is, instead of taking the passport and swiping it and looking and scanning and so forth, all they have to do is run it next to a receiver, and the chip will transfer the data. Now, the problem is, radio frequency doesn't care who the receiver is. So I could have a scanner in my pocket, and I could gather, say, three or four other people's passport information that I'm in line with.
Right.
Same way as a credit card can be scanned for all of its information by simply moving it near the recorder, say, in your front pants pocket. It's the same approach.
So,
only the radio frequency has a greater range.
Right, and you can, and if you were a terrorist and you were looking for the Americans on a plane, you could use one of those devices and not even have to worry so much about collecting passports or having people turn them over or whatever. You'd be able to tell.
You could walk down the aisle and effectively gather all the personal information of everybody on the plane. Dates of birth, full names, whatever is on your passport, you would be able to collect.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the setup to where we're going with this, which is the first couple hours here of Open Lines just focused on security. And some of these weird headlines that have come out where it seems like, and we have 30 seconds for you to comment on this, it seems like some of the introduction, some of the toe testing that's going on in this, in the water, has been things that have been in the pipe for a long time. They've just been waiting for a chance to bring it out. Would you agree with that?
I believe that there are whole organizations that spend the last 5 years developing technologies and approaches, and when a crisis happens, that's when the funding will occur, that's when the motivation and incentive gets kicked in, and they get implemented.
What I get and what I don't get coming up next, and we'll go to your calls on Coast to Coast AM in for George. This is Ian Punnett.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.